A Kabbalist Without a Temple, Walter Benjamin, Art and the Broken Vessels of Modernity. In contemplating Benjamin's thought, we are invited to become participants in its silent redemption, beginning with the awakening of the spark within our hearts. Some historical figures speak not only through what they wrote, but through what they sought, through the silences, fragments, and unresolved longings that remain after their words are gone. Walter Benjamin is one such figure, a philosopher, cultural critic, and seeker without a fixed sanctuary. He lived at the crossroads between a vanishing sacred world and the rising tide of modernity. Long before I encountered Benjamin through academic study, I sensed the questions he carried, questions I recognized from my own journey through art, design, and the spiritual path. Benjamin's reflections on the loss of the aura in art, his image of the angel of history, looking backwards over the wreckage of time, and his cryptic hints at messianic hope revealed a soul wrestling with the same mystery that animates the school of the Golden Rosy Cross. How does one remember the light after the vessels have shattered? How does one remain faithful to a divine origin in a fallen world? This article is not intended as a scholarly analysis, but as a meditation, a reflection on Benjamin's hidden mystical thread, the silent Kabbalist within the critic, and the living connection between his vision and the inner path of transformation has shaped my life. Through the ruins of history, through the loss of presence, a quiet call still echoes, not to rebuild the world as it is, but to awaken it as it was meant to be. Benjamin's Hidden Dialogue with Kabbalah. To read Walter Benjamin attentively is to sense another voice just beneath the surface, a quiet, mystical current that rarely shows itself openly, but shapes the texture of his thoughts. While Benjamin is most often remembered as a Marxist critic or a philosopher of modernity, those who look more closely, especially through his correspondence with Gershom Scholem, discover another dimension, a lifelong fascination with the mysteries of the Kabbalah. Benjamin's relationship with Scholem, who would become the great scholar of Jewish mysticism, was not merely intellectual. It was a shared exploration of hidden structures of meaning, of language as a vessel for something more than communication, something sacred. In letters exchanged over decades, they often spoke of theology, divine order, and the possibility of redemption that breaks into history not through progress, but through sudden messianic interruption. Yet Benjamin never wrote a formal treatise on Kabbalah. He never announced himself as a mystic. Instead, his engagement with these ideas remained inward, woven into his reflections on art, memory, and history. Like the lost shards of a broken vessel, traces of Kabbalistic thought appear throughout his work, the fall into fragmentation, the longing for restoration, the belief in a reality behind appearances waiting. Hidden. In this way, Benjamin stands as a kind of modern Gnostic, one who carries within himself a silent remembrance of another world, but must express it in a language the fallen world can understand. In this silence, this hidden dialogue, we glimpse the soul of Benjamin's search, not for knowledge alone, but for a redemption that can only be born within. Art, aura, and the shattered world. In his celebrated essay, The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction, Walter Benjamin mourns the loss of the aura, that unique, unrepeatable presence that once clung to works of art like a silent halo. Where once a painting, a sculpture, or a cathedral radiated its own sacred stillness, the modern age of endless reproduction strips away this mystery, leaving images as commodities, flattened, interchangeable, detached from their source. At first glance, Benjamin's language seems cultural, even political, but at a deeper level, it resonates with the ancient Kabbalistic vision of a world fallen from unity into fragmentation. In Kabbalah, the primordial vessels that once contained divine light shattered, scattering their fragments into the material world. In Benjamin's vision, art undergoes a similar decline. Its sacred quality is compromised, and its inner life is lost in the machinery of mass production. What is lost in art reproduction is not simply beauty, but presence, a silent connection between the visible and the invisible, the earthly and the divine. And it is precisely this lost presence that the seeker longs to restore, not by returning to the past, but by awakening a new inner relationship with the sacred. In the Gnostic school of the Golden Rosicross, we learn that true transformation does not seek to rebuild the broken world, but to ignite the hidden spark within the seeker, awakening a new perception and a new life. Similarly, Benjamin's mourning for the lost aura hints at a deeper hunger, not simply for better art, but for a redeemed mode of seeing one capable of encountering the divine even amid the ruins of modernity. It is in this hunger that Benjamin's secret kinship with the mystical path becomes visible, a kinship not declared but lived, the angel of history and the memory of redemption. In one of his final works, Theses on the Philosophy of History, Walter Benjamin offers a haunting image, the angel of history, torn between worlds, facing backwards. The angel sees only the wreckage piling at his feet, the endless debris of wars, empires, and broken dreams. Yet a storm from paradise, a force Benjamin calls progress, propels him helplessly into the future, even as he longs to stay, to repair what has been shattered. This image, perhaps more than any other, reveals the mystical depth of Benjamin's vision. It is not the illusion of human progress that interests him, not the blind faith in improvement or evolution, but the silent memory of something lost and the desperate longing to restore it. Here again, the echoes of Kabbalah are unmistakable. In the mystical teachings, the divine light, once contained within perfect vessels, is scattered across creation after the great rupture. The seeker's task, and by extension, of the world, is not to forge ahead blindly, but to gather the lost sparks, redeem the fallen fragments, and restore the unity that once was. Benjamin's angel is not a figure of despair. He is a witness. He sees what modernity refuses to see. True healing is not found in outward movement, but in inward remembrance, in the sudden interruption of messianic time, a time not measured by clocks, but by the awakening of the soul. The school of the Golden Rosicross teaches that within each human being lies a divine seed, a silent remembrance of the original light. It waits amid suffering and fragmentation, not for worldly progress, but for inner transfiguration. Benjamin's angel of history, caught between ruin and hope, stands at the same crossroads every seeker must face. A crossroads where the past is not forgotten but gathered, where redemption is not achieved by force but by the silent awakening of what has never truly been lost. A personal reflection, walking the broken path. When I first encountered Walter Benjamin's writings, it was through the lens of academic study. Yet even then, beneath the theoretical structures, I sensed a quiet echo, something that spoke not only to the intellect, but also to the deeper memory within the soul. As someone who has walked the path of inner transformation for many years, a path illuminated by the teachings of the Gnostic school of the Golden Rosicross, I recognize in Benjamin not just a critic of culture, but a fellow seeker, a soul who, like many in our time, found himself marooned between worlds. The memory of a divine origin on one side and the relentless machinery of modernity on the other. Benjamin's mourning for the loss of aura, his vision of the angel of history, and his cryptic gestures toward a messianic redemption all speak to the same inner reality the Gnostic path seeks to awaken, a reality where the brokenness of the world is not the final word, but a call to inner renewal, where history's ruins are not merely to be mourned, but transfigured through a new consciousness born from the silent spark within. This spark, what the Gnostic tradition calls the primordial atom, is the divine core of our being, not of this world, yet quietly present within it. It is the place where memory becomes knowing and longing becomes light. Walking the broken path is not a matter of nostalgia or retreat. It is a radical act of remembrance, remembering the light behind appearances, the unity behind fragmentation, the divine calling that still whispers, even amid the ruins. Benjamin's life was marked by exile, uncertainty, and an early death. Yet through his fragmented works, the secret's hope endures, the hope that, even in a fallen world, the divine memory can be stirred, and the work of restoration can begin within. To that silent hope, this reflection is offered, not as a solution, but as a gesture toward the light that calls each of us still beyond the broken vessels of time. Angelus Novus, a Gnostic icon. Among the fragments of Benjamin's life, one image remained closest to him, Angelus Novus, a small and haunting work by Paul Klee. Benjamin kept it with him for many years. In it, he saw more than just a painting. He saw an emblem of his own inner vision, a being suspended between heaven and earth, helplessly watching the collapse of history, yet unable to turn away. He would later describe this angel in his theses on the philosophy of history. Still, Angelus Novus carries something deeper than critique. It is, in a very real sense, a modern Gnostic icon. The angel does not advance. Its wings are caught in a storm. Its eyes are wide, not with fear, but with remembrance. It gazes not into the future, but into the past, into the ruins, and sees not just events, but meaning, a hidden continuity, a divine pattern, shattered. In the teachings of the Gnostic school of the Golden Rosy Cross, the human being is not unlike this angel, born into time, but holding the memory of eternity, drawn forward by the world's demands, yet pulled inward by the silent cry of the soul. Like Angelus Novus, we are poised between despair and transfiguration, between forgetting and the awakening of divine memory. To look at this image, as Benjamin once did, is to see something of ourselves. It is a mirror for the one who walks the inner path, not escaping the world, but standing within it, bearing witness to its full and hidden promise. Conclusion. Walter Benjamin was never a systematic theologian, nor a formal mystic. He moved between disciplines and traditions, often speaking in fragments rather than in complete systems. Yet the depth of his spiritual search reveals itself precisely in his unfinishedness, his longing without closure. He stands, even now, as a kind of Kabbalist without a temple, carrying within him the memory of the divine, but exiled from its fullness in a world that no longer recognizes its origin. Through his reflections on art, memory, and history, he bears silent witness to the reality that, beyond mechanical time and broken culture, another time, another life waits to be remembered. What Benjamin hints at in gestures, in fragments, is the same mystery the Gnostic path makes visible, that the light we seek is not ahead of us in history, but behind the veil of our forgotten being. The School of the Golden Rosy Cross teaches that the call to awakening is not a cry into the past, but a living summons in the present. Each seeker carries within them the possibility of gathering the lost sparks, of kindling the divine memory anew, even in a world that seems to have forgotten its soul. In contemplating Benjamin's thought, we are invited to hear that call once again, not merely to mourn the world's brokenness, but to become participants in its silent redemption, beginning with the awakening of the spark within our hearts.